Good morning. Like you said, my name is Aaron Meeks. I am one of your pastors here at Bethel. I work primarily with our students. I've actually told them not to make funny faces at me while I'm up here, because if I laugh, that's what they're doing, okay? So before we begin today, I want to pray. So Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful for who you are. Lord, that you came down to this earth to save us and die in our place. We are so thankful for that, Lord. And today, as we open your word and discuss one of your disciples here on earth, I pray that people's hearts will be open, that your word would speak, and your spirit would move, Lord. I pray this in your precious holy name. Amen. So today, like you said, we're going to be continuing our series on the mind of a disciple. So I have a question for you that's going to take some interaction from everybody in the sanctuary. You ready for this? You sure? The students are used to this. This is what I do to them almost every single week. I have to have some sort of interaction, so I know, one, you're listening, and one, you're not just sitting there asleep with your eyes open, right? Okay, so raise your hand when I mention one of the disciples, if you know them as the doubter. Okay? Raise your hand if you thought it was Matthew. Okay, for everybody, nobody raised their hand. What about Judas? Or Philip? No? Let me go ahead and say it. Thomas? Okay, everybody's listening. Okay, good. But here's the thing. I think Thomas gets a bad rap oftentimes. Because truthfully, if we look at Scripture, every single one of the disciples doubted at one point or another. If you look at it. I mean, you look at Peter alone, who we discussed last week. What was his nickname? What was the sermon title last week? The Rock. Thank you. I want some interaction here. It makes me feel more comfortable. Okay? So we talked about the Rock last week. This week we're talking about the doubter. But the doubter name was given to him by society, not necessarily Scripture. I think they would label him more as a questioner. So as we begin this, this is for all the questioners like me in the room. I'm one of the biggest questioners you'll ever meet. If you've ever profoundly wrestled with faith, Thomas is your story. If you've ever fully trusted the gospel and surrendered your life to him and yet found faith difficult in the darkest of moments, Thomas is your story. Thomas is for you if you've ever struggled with doubt or fear or have to see something to believe it. That's me. I need to see it right in front of me in order to understand it and believe it. This is why I relate to him so much. But for all the unbelievers in the room, maybe you believe God's word, love towards you is too good to be true, that you can't believe it. The ones that who think your sins are too great, that there's no way Yahweh would send his one and only son to die for you and to die in your place. We want you to know the gospel is not just a story found in the Bible. The good news is true. It is unbelievable. And it is God's invitation for you to lay aside your sin and follow him today. So today's message is titled Thomas the Questioner. One story about Thomas that we oftentimes forget. Okay, you know, until really studying Thomas several times, because I relate to him so much, I never realized the story about Lazarus had him in it. This is actually the first time he's spoken in Scripture. So we see Lazarus, he died. Jesus heard about it, and he's talking with his disciples here. And Thomas utters a bold statement about his faith in this moment. But what's interesting about this, in order to go back to Bethany, where Lazarus is, they had to go back through a section of town where Jesus was almost killed by the Jewish leaders. So we see Thomas here as the disciples are saying, no, we're not going to go. That's the wrong side of town. I'm not going to cross those tracks, right? But in John 11:16, then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too so that we may die with him. Does this sound like doubting Thomas to y'all? Is there any doubt here? This means yes, this means no. Okay, We're good? Okay, Thomas, amid the chaos, utters a bold statement about the cost of following Jesus. Let's go too, so we may die with him. There's no shred of doubting here. Thomas is the one apostle who speaks with courage, boldness, and authentic devotion. This is Thomas's first time, like I said, having his words recorded in Scripture. And this is an important point. This is what the Bible wants us to know, what God wants us to know about Thomas in this moment. So he knew the cost of following Jesus. He knew that a martyr's death was possible if he followed Jesus. Thomas's declaration is a clear call to action to all those who follow Christ. It's to take up your cross daily and follow him. See, I can relate to Thomas in this moment where the peace of God makes no sense, for one. But even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death before, I have lived in countries where government persecuted Christians. And yet these Christ followers in this country had a deep hope that Jesus was more than enough. Then, right, this is what they said. Same words Thomas uttered. Let's go too, so that we will die with him. Do you have this boldness? I know oftentimes I don't. But Thomas was hopeful and confident, not because of his callings or his gifts or his natural abilities. Thomas was confident because he could see Jesus. Jesus was nearby. And friend, for all those who have trusted in Christ Savior as your Savior, never forget that he will never leave you or forsake you. But this episode in John is not the only scripture where we hear Thomas speak. Something happened between the middle of Jesus' ministry, where Thomas was ready to die for his faith, and the end of the Messiah's life, where Thomas was shaken to the core. So we must ask, what happened? What changed in Thomas's mind to make him doubt? Before we read John 20, which is our main scripture for today, John 20, 24 through 29, let's review what has transpired from the resurrection of Lazarus to this passage. First, there were plots to kill Jesus, right? Many people started following Jesus because they saw him and they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. This was amazing to them. So he gathered a large following. But the Jewish leaders of the day didn't like this. So there were plots to kill him. And they couldn't control him. Then the Son of Man, Jesus, enters into Jerusalem as it was foretold, with people singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Afterward, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, modeling for the 12 what humility and sacrifice looked like during the Lord's Supper. Soon after, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and buried. All Thomas knows at this point is the rabbi that he had been following for 3 years, faithfully, the one he was ready to die for, the one he left everything for, was crucified and buried. Thomas's faith was shook, in the terms of our students these days. If for those that don't understand that, it's shaken to the core kind of idea. But on the third day, Jesus rose again. Mary saw the empty tomb. John and Peter experienced the empty tomb. But when Jesus appeared to his disciples, Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why he was missing. We can speculate all we want, but we're not going to today. We still do not know why Thomas was there. The things Thomas has seen have caused him to lose trust in God's plan. Have y'all been there? I know I have. And what he needed to see the most was Jesus. And he was not evident to him, was not nearby to him. In the moment when Thomas had great faith before going with Jesus to Bethany, he could see him, right? But can you relate to Thomas here? Can you see yourself in this moment of you're so focused on what's going on around you, you can't see Jesus right in front of you and what he's doing in your life? So, as we read John 20, 24 through 25. In verse 24, but Thomas, called the twin, same disciple we heard before, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." Like, I mean, I can just imagine the excitement on the disciples' face. Like, I mean, I'm not sure I would disown this, but we've seen the Lord. There's so much excitement for them that they got to see the risen Lord. But he said, Thomas, if I don't see the mark of the nails on his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails, put my hand to his side, I will never believe. We see that Thomas is in a state of chaos. He hears from his friends, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas, being the questioner that he is, has more questions. He is stuck between what he hears, what he wants to be accurate, and what he knows to be true. He knows that Jesus has died. He may have seen Jesus raise people from the dead, all these other miracles, but he watched him die, and then there was no life left in him. So he's, indeed, this can't be true in his mind. Or can it? We must confront the unbelievable story of the gospel. I mean, it started with an unbelievable story of birth of a virgin and then raising himself from the dead. No one in history of the world could claim this, that he died, he was risen again on their own. Surely this can't be true, thought Thomas. In my time overseas, as you talk to missionaries about sharing their faith, we could share our faith so many times in stories about Jesus and one of the miracles that he did. Oh, he changed water into wine. He did all these wonderful things. He calmed the storm. But the thing that lit up the people of China's faces was when they heard he rose himself from the dead. They were amazed by this point. And this is where I see Thomas is today. He cannot comprehend that Jesus can do this. Thomas and the other disciples grew up hearing about the coming Messiah. So his expectations about what this Messiah means was ruined. It was done. Messiah was here to conquer the world in their mind. He was the promised one. But Thomas was still stuck in what I call Saturday mode. It was the day between Friday, when he was crucified, and when Jesus rose again on Sunday. He was stuck in that day. He had to see it for himself, no matter what others told him. Can we honestly blame Thomas here? When Thomas realizes that Jesus died, at this moment he thinks everything is hopeless. Everything that he had felt and understood to be happening changed when Jesus was arrested and later crucified. He had seen him die with his own eyes. Thomas had no hope without the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas was stuck in Saturday mode. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. There is only hope in the resurrection of Jesus. So, it's story time. Have you ever felt so sure about something that you couldn't be convinced otherwise? Well, hard-headed as I am, if my mother's over there, she could tell you I'm the most hard-headed person alive. But my wife and I were on our honeymoon, going to Gatlinburg. Okay, we got married in the morning. We were traveling up. It was about midnight. We got up to about 10 minutes from our destination. We hit a fork in the road. We can go left or we could go right. The prepared leader that I am, I had Google up. It was telling me to go left. But my wife had hers up too. Hers was telling her to go right. Okay, so I started off my marriage really, really well and followed Google. So we go up this mountain, and we get up to the next turn. It tells me to turn left, and I look to my left, and there's a dirt road with a camper sitting on it. You can't turn. People live there. It's somebody's house. I look to my right. It's down a ravine. Also, while looking to my right, I could feel this I told you so moment happening in the passenger seat, right? We're just maybe 12 hours into our marriage at this point, and it's already happening. So, in this moment, she was very gracious to me, by the way. She just laughed it off. And we just went back down the mountain, and we got back on the road we were supposed to go on, and she was right. Record be told, she was right. But in the moment, all I could see was the Google right in front of me. All I could see was what my phone was telling me in that moment to go this way. But I wasn't listening to anybody else. I was hard-headed. Much like Thomas, I could only see what was right in front of me. So Thomas was like me, convinced his way was the best. He was confident that the words of others, of we've actually seen him, couldn't be true. So in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. So what do you hope for? When we lack faith like Thomas, we do not have hope. Hopelessness and disbelief are not far away from each other, but doubting something can cause a lack of hope, leading to the darkness of mind and spirit. We can listen to what Henry Drummond says about unbelief. There's a word in here that I've been working on all week, so be patient with me, please. Christ never failed to distinguish between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is I can't believe. Unbelief is I won't believe. Doubt is honesty. Unbelief is obstinacy. Yes. Doubt is looking for light. Unbelief is content with darkness. So let me read that last part. It's the important part of what we need to remember today. Doubt is looking for light. Unbelief is content with darkness. All the disciples were in a state of doubt after the death of Jesus on Saturday. Of I can't believe. And since Thomas was not with them when he first appeared, he did not have the same hope. So today, are you in a place where you say, I can't believe or I won't believe? Take it from the disciples who exclaimed, we've seen the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hinge of our Christian faith. Without it, we don't have it. No religion stands or falls with a claim about the resurrection of its founder in the way that Christianity does. If you do not live like the resurrection is true in your own lives, you will live in darkness. The Bible says you are of the world, not just in the world. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Thomas did not believe in the resurrection of Christ, so he had no hope. But Thomas never said, I refuse to believe, right? If we look at the progression of things. On the contrary, he says, if I don't see it, then I'll never. And indeed, Thomas was a man looking for light. If I was in his shoes, I would be in an existential crisis myself, where everything would be in question. Everything Jesus told me, everything that I knew about him, everything that I thought about him would be in question in this moment. Thomas was full of hope and ready to die when Jesus was right in front of him. But when he died, all his hope was lost. But now we see John 20, 26 through 29. A week later, he lasted a whole week like this. Can you imagine that? His disciples were indoors again. And Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. Thomas responded to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This empty tomb brings hope and peace to Jesus' followers. We know that Jesus rose from the dead, which makes the difference for us. There is only hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And praise God, he is not there, but he is risen. Now let's look at how Jesus responds to Thomas in this moment, of his moment of disbelief. Because so many times us as believers, we want to condemn ourselves in these moments. And we get caught in the shame. So maybe Christ was on his way to appear to others, but he made a pit stop just for Thomas, it seemed, from the words he spoke. It was just there for Thomas. Jesus responds to Thomas's doubt and a lack of faith in him, knowing what Thomas needs to understand. We see Jesus offer proof. The Messiah knows precisely what Thomas needs to believe, and only Christ can give Thomas what he needs. Jesus is showing patience and love to one of his disciples in this moment. In 2 Peter 3:9, we see how Jesus offers you the same patience and love. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Jesus is the good shepherd. He goes after the one and leaves the 99, just like he did for Thomas here. He left all else from the room and focused on him. and give him what he needed in that moment. And we have to be careful not to get caught up in the shame of disbelief, because that's not how Jesus responds. How is Christ speaking to your heart today in your own disbelief about things? Peace be with you. That's an introduction that I would love to hear from Jesus myself when it comes to my own disbelief. Peace be with you. He didn't storm in and say, Thomas, didn't you learn anything in the last 3 years? Really? Why don't you believe? Come on, bro. Right? It's one of those things where but the Messiah's response of patience, kindness, and the words of Thomas needs to hear, peace be with you. There's not a tone of anger or resentment here from Jesus. And Jesus offers the words and the evidence that Thomas needed. Never forget that doubt is looking for light. Unbelief is content with darkness. Thomas was looking for light and hope, and Jesus brought it to him. Thomas was sure at this moment that the man that stood before him was not merely man, but was the Son of God. Exactly 1 week later, after Easter, again locked away, Jesus stood among the disciples. This time, Thomas is among the group, but Jesus speaks directly to him. Put your finger here. See the proof. I'm here. Don't be faithless, but believe. How did he know? By showing aware of Thomas's objection, the Lord displayed supernatural knowledge and earthly grace. Jesus knows your habits, your hang-ups, and your hurts. Jesus knows how to transcend your obstacles. The Messiah tears down the barriers to belief. Don't be faithless, but believe. There's one more question that we can answer through Thomas's life. Is having unbelief the same as being an unbeliever? As we begin to unpack this question, let me preface with this conversation that the Lord knows your heart. And the answer to this question is about the heart behind unbelief. Like we've been saying, doubt is, I can't believe. Unbelief is, I won't believe. Doubt is looking for light. Unbelief is content with darkness. Does your doubt deny that Jesus is the Son of God? Do your questions of the Lord say, I can't believe, but I want to? Or does your lack of faith say, I won't believe, no matter what? These are two different questions. One question, you're just questioning God's plan. The other one, you're questioning God's character and who he is. And that's a dangerous one. Thomas knew the risk because he had already left to follow the Messiah. But the disciple did not believe that Jesus had resurrected for a whole week until he finally saw the resurrected Lord. God used Thomas's questions, or his actually a bold statement, to bring more people to Christ. Thomas, told by tradition, was a missionary to India after the resurrection of Jesus, where he was martyred by a spear, as it's told by tradition. The people in India would never really say, doubting Thomas. They call him the father of their faith because he spread the word because he saw the Lord. Yahweh, God, can use your authentic questions of faith to bring more glory to Christ. He can use your questions to make your faith firm. If Thomas could tell us anything, he would say, everyone will experience moments that radically change your faith, challenge your faith. Everyone will share moments that will change their lives forever, such as a death in the family. Unfulfilled expectations. My life is not going the way I thought it would, right? Or maybe even a college professor in the future for these students that tells them something contrary to the word of God, and they start questioning. But a faith that has gone through trials, doubts, and questions is forged in the fire. And students, if you want to find somebody that has gone through that, a lot of these adults have. And if you really want to look for a really good one, a lot of them have gray hair. And they're still holding Bibles. And they're still standing firm in the faith. The week after Jesus died on the cross, Thomas was sure the Messiah would remain in the tomb, but then everything changed. The fact is now he is convinced that the Lord is risen. Thomas can say, I once was a critic, but I saw it with my own eyes. So how can you change this drastic transformation for Thomas to believe that it never could be true to it is true? This is more proof in the gospel, more proof of the resurrection that allows me to helps me believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Don't be faithless, but believe. As a Christian, you may be sitting here today and you're the questioner like me. Things are not as they should be. You suffered significant loss and you're walking through a dark season of suffering and hurt. You may not be where you want to be in this life. Are you doubting God's plan? Listen to Thomas. Do not let your questions about life and faith lead you to shame. Shame can turn your heart away from God. Satan can use that. Instead, take your fears and your inquiries to God. Do not sit in your sorrow of how things should be. Instead, use these questions to seek God out for comfort. Jesus is offering his words to you today. Believe, have faith, trust in him. Maybe you're like me and you struggle to see what's right in front of you. Before Jesus came into my life, all I could see is all the hard things that I had to deal with. The things that I could not change and broken, unfulfilled expectations. I was the one that believed that my circumstances proved that God didn't care about me. Before Christ, did I not see a way out? My anger toward all the things that I thought were something holding me back were the things that were actually pointing me to the truth of my need for a Savior. And to the unbeliever today, God has given us all proof of what we need to believe in this word, in his word, that his word is true. You've heard the message today of hope, but Yahweh is softening your heart to know that his love is an invitation to abundant life. Remember that doubt is looking for light, but unbelief is content with darkness. Are you living a life that believes in the resurrection of Jesus? Does your life prove that Jesus is still alive today? Do your actions, your prayer life, your time in Scripture prove by the dedication that you have of your time and energy, prove that there is a resurrected Lord, that he is worth that? Does you share in the gospel out into this world prove that there is a resurrected Lord, that he is worth it all? He's worth the cost that you may go die with Jesus like Thomas was wanting to do. Or are you focused on what the world offers? Are you focused on what's right in front of you, what you can see? And in turn, that you feel like you don't have a purpose anymore and you have no hope? Are you living in disbelief or doubt? Lack of trust in Jesus. Let me tell you, he is worth it. Jesus is worth it all. Because Jesus was there in the beginning when God created the world. Sin entered into the world and it broke it. So many of us want to say God allows these things to happen, but in truth, sin entered the world and broke our world. And that's why we are in the condition that we are in now. But Jesus came in to heal the relationship that was broken through sin. The relationship between God and man was broken completely when sin entered the world. But many people thought he was here to actually conquer the world. But he was here to conquer sin and death. And he did that through the crucifixion and the resurrection. And through that, we are able to have a relationship with Jesus. And God, because of what he did, Jesus died in your place and rose again so we could have a relationship with him. But we must make him king of our life and trust in him for everything. Trust in his plan. Today is giving, Jesus is giving you a chance to believe today. For the Christians today, as we end our time, if you wanted to come down and lay things down or right where you are and ask God the questions that you're afraid to ask him about your faith and about what you don't believe and what you cannot believe that's true, look for light. Don't be content with the darkness. And today, for the unbelievers in the room, he's giving you a chance to believe in the one who died for your sins in your place and was risen again. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus did, put your finger here, look in my hands, reach out your hand, put it to my side. He's saying it to you. Don't be faithless, but believe. And then Thomas actually responded to him. And I pray this is your response to Jesus today. My Lord, my God. Because that's a bold statement. Because it make him Lord of your life and submit to him today. Because you have seen me, talking to Thomas, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Don't be faithless, but believe. Father,